Blog Talk Radio.
Share
and all these very things that we will do on this prayer line to praise you. Now, Father, as we lift up the brothers and sisters that may come to share, I'm asking you to touch their hearts and allow them to come and give you the glory on the prayer line, Lord, because it's what we do when we love the Lord. So let us praise him. Let us thank him this evening for what he has done for us, as he has blessed us yesterday for his Sabbath, and he's given us a rest, and that rest we did enjoy. Thank you, Father, for the blessing that you've given to us in the name of Jesus Christ. And also, Father, don't want to forget how you have your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us on the prayer line. So bless us with your spirit tonight that we may praise you and give you thanks and glory in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, welcome to Advent Light Ministry once again. And we here, we're going to have Brother Rick to open up a scripture from Hebrews chapter 3, and he's going to read that for us. And then we can share our testimonies, and we're going to ask Sister Powell is going to give her a little comment on it. It's just that we are just looking into these scriptures, and Lord, have us to read his word, and that his scripture is a blessing to us that we can be obedient to his word. So let us open Brother Rick line, and he will give us that reading. Amen. God bless you all, and we will be opening your line right after the reading. Amen. Brother Rick, I will open your line, and you can give us the reading. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And, Sister, I just wanted to thank you for being so faithful in hosting the line each Sunday evening, or almost every Sunday evening. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. And I am going to now read Hebrews chapter 3. So this is my King James Version. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest therefore be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Excuse me. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Wow, that's some powerful stuff there, Sister. Just a quick comment on that, Sister. He talks about here unbelief is what is going to hold us back from heaven, from the eternal Canaan. And, he says we must hold fast until the end. And this prayer line helps me to do that, Sister. Each week you come on and share and encourage each other, and that just keeps me saying, you know what, I can hold on a little longer. Christ is the key here, but brothers and sisters are also very instrumental in keeping us, giving us encouragement and just keeping us going just a little longer, so, you know, you can do it. And it is, this prayer line has done that for me, Sister, and I so appreciate it, and thank you.
Amen, amen. And, you know, brothers and sisters, I want to thank God for this. As we was doing a study on this, this study really impressed me as the house was built. But it says in verse 6, two scriptures that touched my heart. The two is verse 6, and also verse 7, because he said, verse 8, harden not your heart. But verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily. So, brothers and sisters, as we are often on the prayer line, Sister Powell, myself, Sister Tamika, all of us together, Brother Rick, we exalt this prayer line. Every brothers and sister on this prayer line, we be praying for. And I know each and every one of us do the same. And so, as it says in verse 6, but Christ as the Son over his house, whose house are we? We are Christ. We are the house of Christ. And I'm so blessed to be part of that house. But you know what the most important thing? He said that we are to be getting this house in order. This mind, this body, we ought to be getting it in order in that same example Christ showed us. So I just want to thank you. But I'm going to open the line for Sister Powell, but I want to thank Brother Rick for the reading. And as always, he on time, and I was getting myself together, and I was praying, and Brother Rick called me. He said, Sister Leola, we don't hear you. I said, oh, mercy, I was praying, but
okay. Hello.
Sorry, Sister Powell. I'll open your line for a comment. I put my phone on mute for the background noise. So, Sister Powell, your line is open.
Okay. Good night, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. I just have to say God is good, God is great. Thank you, Brother Rick, for reading and also to clarify some of the passages. But when I was reading this thing, this verse was especially meaningfully to the Jewish Christian. You know, Jesus was the highest human authority, one as a high priest, and he mentioned several names here. He as Moses, he was one of a hero, right? And Jesus mentioned all these things, but Jesus also sent his disciples out to work the area to share his goodness. He gave them the instruction, and they were willing, so they were obedient to carry it out. But the writers also say that we must consider Jesus even more than Moses and the other, right? The writer says to consider Jesus, and we must keep our eyes fixed, our eyes, our mind, our heart fixed upon Jesus. We must focus upon his true love that he has given unto us. And that is a greatest thing. It also scripture point out about food, right? in our age of sound bites, fast food, and what is happening in the world, telling us all these things that is happening in the world. But despite of all these things that is happening in the world, our eyes must be fixed upon Jesus. So this chapter is really showing us about our future eternal life with Christ. And we find in 5 Hebrews 4, the same chapter 4, 8 and 11, it is letting us know that total obedience, and only total obedience, surrender all to him, that we will enter into the eternal life with Christ. And also the verses told us that it applies to us meaningfully as human beings to do what is right, you know, to that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Also, it is showing us that our heart, remember, the children, he point out this story, brief in the picture with the children of Israel. The reason why they were in the wilderness for 40 days was because of unbelief. They did not have no faith, and Jesus had hardened their heart, right? The Israelites, he showed us about the Israelites. The Israelites failed to enter the promised land. Why they failed to enter the promised land? Jesus planned to give them, and they didn't believe Jesus, right? They were just there in the wilderness doing their own thing. And we find that in Numbers 14, 15. So God sent them into the wilderness to wander for 40 years. And they were unhappy people, right? They did not want to receive the wonderful gift of the promised land that Jesus promised them to give, to promise them that wonderful land. So they were lack of faith and lack of trust in God, you know. And we come, that those are the children of Israel. We know, right? It also shows about our life now. What we are supposed to be doing, we are supposed to be looking on those examples and just point, keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus so that we will enter the Canaan land, the eternal rest with Christ, right? And that is how he came and said to us, it's good, as you mentioned a while ago, that it is good for brethren to unite together. Right? He had placed the house of God for each one to fellowship together. And you point out about we are in our prayer session where we pray for everyone. Yes, he said, we're supposed to be praying for one another with love, sharing with one another. And that will build our character so that we can gain the eternal rest. So this story is just not telling us about what happened in Egypt with the Israelites, with Moses and the others who have done great work in those times. But it is pointing to us now, or the example that we can know within ourselves, that if we are not be careful, be faithful, without murmuring and complaining, we will enter into that rest that Jesus had promised us. So few things point come out is obedience, as Brother Rick said, and unbelief. You know, unbelief is going to help us to in destruction. Our hearts lead us away from the living God. We stubbornly refuse, reject him. And that is how the hardness of the heart become. Right? When we reject his word, we don't believe, we hear this and we go. But God will leave us alone in our sin if we reject him. Right? So my little take quote is, brothers and sisters, myself. Right? Brothers and sisters, God can give us a new heart, a new desire, a new spirit. And we find that in Ezekiel 36, 22 and 27. To prevent from having this stony heart, right, we have to keep, be obedient, to follow him and to trust him. This is my little takeaways from the Hebrews 3.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Power. And with that closing out in that little chapter, and I just wanted to read Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17 and 19. It says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And Sister Power, when I read that, along with when we studied that, I was saying, Lord, you know, it's so much to strive. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we got to pray. We got to fast that God give us that strength and keep his will and as we read the word of God. So, amen. We're going to move forward and open the next line. Thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing and giving us that reading and all the comments, because, brothers and sisters, the scriptures is all about being obedient to God. So we thank God for his word. So now we go and open the scriptures. Now we're going to open the scriptures, brothers and sisters, and we're going to begin to open 423-636. We open in your line, and you can share and give your testimony.
Amen. Yes, amen. Good evening. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I have a song to sing, but I just want to talk of the goodness of the Lord first and just praise him, for he is good and he's worthy to be praised. And it was a high Sabbath yesterday, and I praised the Lord after the Sabbath home church, and then I went on a medical missionary line, and I, you know, asked question regarding gardening, basically country living. Sorry. And then they asked me to give, a testimony about being a single female moving to the country, and I did, and it was a blessing to give like a spin up, a little short testimony, because they was about to go off, and I got in touch again with Sister Verlene, and she's one of our sister upstate New York at William Miller Farm. She came to the camp meeting, and she says she will be joining us this evening on the prayer line. So I just want to thank the Lord for reconnecting with her and for, talking to her today and encouraging her and being encouraged. And we talked for a good while, and, you know, it's a blessing for brothers and sisters to come together, reunite and talk and encourage each other. So praise the Lord for that. And the song is a beautiful song, and just listen to the words. It's a beautiful words. As I'm learning this song, I'm thanking the Lord. And the title is Jesus Call Us. And every day, every moment, he's calling us. Amen. Jesus called us o'er the torment of our life while restless being. Day by day, his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christians, follow me. Jesus called us from the worship of the vain world's golden stone, from each idol that will keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joy and in our sorrows, day of toils and hours of ease, still he called in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus called us by thy mercy, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our heart to thine obedience, serve and love the best of all. Amen. And I just thank the Lord again, as Psalms 52, verse 1, say, truly my soul waited upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. My soul waited thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Amen. Thank you, and I just thank the Lord for a safe journey, mercy to work. Thank you, and God bless you all, brothers and sisters.
Amen, amen. Jesus, call us, calling us to be obedient. You know, Sister Carla, as you sung that song, I was trying to put in my memory, that memory, parts of that song. When he called us, he calling us for obedience. And who can say they don't want that? Because if he call you, guess what? He's gonna go before you for his Father, and he's answering for us. And I praise God for that, because as he called, I want to answer. Yes, yes, here am I, Savior. Where should I go? Who should I talk to? Oh, Father, thank you. So, yes, brothers and sisters, as he called us, let us answer him and just say, Lord, where you want to send me, or what should I do? Let us hear his voice. Oh, precious Lord, thank you. All right, Sister Carla, we thank you for that song and also the scripture reading. And we're going to lift that up in prayer, that as you are, I think you say you're traveling now, so let us just give a short prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, as our sister, our daughter is traveling to her work, Father, we call upon the most holy angels, as you can send your angels to give her protection and safety as she go around those curves and the mountains, Lord, to protect her from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. And may she get to her job safe. And when she get there, Lord, and she can give a testimony, she can give words to her clients and those that she around. Father, we, and as your daughter is continuing to praise you with songs and her missionary work and all things that she do, even sharing with others. Father, thank you and bless her and keep her, Lord, as she continue out through this day and also evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, we want to thank God for his love and his mercy, what he shed up abroad for all of us. So we're going to go to the next caller as brothers and sisters. The Lord, you know, his blessing, how things fall in place as we've been studying on obedience. And Sister Carla, bring that song of obedience. Thank God for things to fall in order. You see, God said he's an orderly God. So by God's grace, let us follow him. And I'm thanking him for this prayer line. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller. Amen. And we have Sister Brenda. We're going to open her line. Amen. She wanted to share. Okay, Sister Brenda, you can share first. Amen. You can share. Your line is
good
open,
evening,
95.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda. I just want to thank you, Lord, for us coming together one more time on this line. Thank him for being so good and so merciful to us, because we just thank him for all he's doing for us and all he will do for us. And I thank y'all for praying for my grandbabies, and I'm working on them. And she's learning. She's saying her grace, and she's saying amen. She's starting off with her prayer, but she's starting off with a prayer, so she's saying amen. So she getting something in. Now I got to get the grandson to start, and but by listening at the prayer line, she's saying God is good, God is great. Amen. because that's what I teach you when we eat. But she's saying a few things that the power say, and she pick up, she say, amen. I said, that's right. If you look, she pay attention to Sister Powell. So I just thank God she pays attention because she's a very honest student. And she just, they're not bad. You just, I call them bad, but they have that hypeness. My grandson have that 88H. She have it too. They're just active, very active. And I always call it bad. My son was like that, but he grew out of it. So I guess the Lord would keep praying. They're going to grow out of it. But I think as long as you keep a phone in front of them, they will stop. But I let them listen to the prayer line, and they love it, especially when y'all sing. And they drop the phone and look up, and then they be excited. But I just thank God, and like through us, and we are opening their eyes because they're straight from the Bible, New Orleans, and they don't know nothing but how to chant and stuff. And that's just where they always been. And they don't understand because their mama like that. And she reads the Bible, but she don't. She church when she wanna, but she don't teach them that. So I just thank God for that, and it's just a new beginning. So I'm going to continue. And that's probably what the Lord wanted me to get into it for, me and Brother John, so they can come in. But I thank God to just lift us up and we continue to go strong. Amen. Brother John, you want to speak? He's correcting him right now. He's on his way.
So Brother John coming to share? Brenda?
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. She made a mess, and he's trying to clean it up. So go ahead.
Oh, okay, then. Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Sister mm-hmm. Brenda, for coming on and sharing. And we know that as Sister Powell has been pretty much helping them to learn more and more about Jesus, you know, the more they hear, the more they want to. When children at that young, tender age, children will repeat what they hear. So it is good that you allow them to hear these things on the prayer line. So continue to do it, and they will be blessed. So, yes, I want to thank God for that because I love to see her grow up in the Lord. Amen. So we're going to continue, and maybe if Brother John want to share, because I will bring you back and let you give a prayer, Sister Brenda. But okay. We're going to let some people share first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. So we're going to go to the next caller, and it's 8575. We're going to open your line. Amen?
Amen.
You can give us a call.
Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters on the Avid Light Ministry. My name's Brother Eli. First of all, I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, Sister Miola, because God is good for me. God is a marvelous God. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. My prayer request is to lift me up in prayer. Don't forget to pray for me, pray for my mother, lift for my mom in prayer, and Sister Miola, please lift me up in prayer because I am going to work on Tuesday. I'm going to work on Tuesday and Thursday for now because Sister Miola, Sister Shamika at my job, she's going to, how you say that word, she's going to hurt me. Sister Miola, and she's going to hit me, Sister Miola, Sister Shamika. When I go to work on Tuesday, Sister Miola, Sister Shamika is going to hit me. So Sister Miola, can you ask Sister Tamiko to lift me up in prayer too, because Sister Shamika is going to hit me. Can you tell Sister Tamiko in Pennsylvania to lift me up in prayer? She lives in Pennsylvania. Sister Tamiko,
amen.
Tell her to pray for me, Sister Miola, because Sister Shamika is going to hit me at work.
Okay, Brother Eli, we know that we should not, that's not something God would say that his children, we just got to pray for her because, you know, Brother Eli, every time you come on to say, Sister, this young lady will hit you or talk about you, you know one thing, we always tell you, put her in the hands of Jesus. Because don't give the devil no play saying she's going to hit you. Just say that God loves you and he will take care of it. He do not want you to continue to say she's going to hit you. Just say, you know, God will take care of it. God loves that she would be obedient to him. So just don't worry about what someone going to do to you. Because if we worry about what someone always doing to us and what they did to Christ. So just put it in the hands of God. Amen. And we're going to lift you up
Amen.
In prayer. So,
Amen.
So, Brother Eli, we thank you for coming on to share. And I know your request, you have requests for all your prayer requests. So we're going to keep that in mind also. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. So, brothers and sisters, let's see. If we have anyone else that like to share, you can press 1 and your line could be open. Now, brothers and sisters, our speaker will be on tonight at 7:30. Brother Akeem has appointments on certain days. Of course, you know he's the pastor of a church. And normally he may be with some of the people in the church with an appointment. So he'll be here tonight at 7:30. So if our brothers and sisters like to share, we ask you to press 1. But I'm going to open the line for Brother Rick. I know he didn't get his time to share, but I'm going to open his line back for him to share his testimony or his request. Amen. And Brother Rick. And Sister Power, I'll open your line for your testimonies and your share. Amen, Brother Rick. You
Amen. Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you, Sister Leola. Yes, I am here. Thank you for opening my line again. I didn't get a chance to share. You know, this weekend, actually all last week, I came down with a nasty respiratory virus, which I didn't know that's what it was at first, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was not feeling well at all. Actually, Thursday and Friday, even worse. My daughter had given me some oregano oil, and the last time I was sick about 3 months ago, I started doing some breathing treatments, and she called me up and said, Dad, are you doing your breathing treatments? And I said, no, I haven't been. I've been taking my vitamins. And, you know, a number of different things. So she said, well, start doing those. Well, you know, Thursday I started doing those, sister, and you know that almost instantly I felt better. I mean, I was still not feeling up to par. I came home Thursday early from work about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and had to take a little nap. And Friday when I got home, I got home about noon, I had to take another nap. I could not stay awake long enough. But, you know, I kept doing those breathing treatments. I've got some mullein oil, actually mullein extract, and that really helped out also. Mullein is a plant, is an herb, is a plant, wild plant, actually. And would you know, sister, I was looking at this plant, mullein. It's very good for respiratory. It's antiviral. It's antifungal. It's got so many wonderful properties and it grows wildly, I found three plants growing in my garden yesterday. And I couldn't believe it. So praise the Lord for that. I just wanted everyone to lift up my friend John, young friend who lives, he's my nearest neighbor, which I cannot see his house from here, but he comes over, and I mentioned him last week. He has Asperger's, and, you know, so he has some social issues, but he's searching, and we're going to do a Bible study, not this coming week, but the following Sabbath, where he's coming over after we get home from church, and we are going to do a Bible study. So keep us in prayer for that. And also, I wanted to pray for my daughter Ashley. Something was not right with her again. I've been trying to get into contact with her. I did. Something is wrong there. I called Ashley's mother and talked to her. She said something is going on with Ashley. I think she might be getting back into drugs or at least hanging out with people that are. So please keep Ashley in prayer. My heart is sad because of that, because she was doing so well. And that is kind of going downhill right now. But you know what? God is good. He is faithful. He is the only one that can convict her heart. So I am just praying that God will reach down, touch her heart, and she'll give her heart to him, not to me, not to anyone else, but to him, and he can heal that heart. So I've been lifting up your son Jarvis too, Sister Leola, and I know the pain that those things cause, and so we just keep lifting up each other and each other's children and each other's families. It's an awesome thing, so just wanted to share that with you, and thank you very much.
Amen, Brother Rick. That's one thing. I just, my daughter and I, we visit my son today, and I was just asking him, I said, Jarvis, whenever you ready to want to go into rehab, just call us, and we can make some arrangements so you can go and get you some rehabilitation to, you know, to help you. So, but you know, Brother Rick, when they're ready, they're gonna come around. And when the Lord speaks to their heart, and when they finally give it up, then it will be the time for them. Other than that, you know, we just gotta keep praying. So I just wanna thank the Lord for your consistent and trying to help and pray for Jarvis and all others. So I'm just thanking you for the blessing that you've been praying for my son and all others. Amen.
Amen.
So we will lift
Amen.
That up
sister,
in prayer. By God's grace.
Yes. One little comment, sister. You know, I look at Ashley and I look at Jarvis, and you know, we see the situation they're in, and it looks really sad and hopeless and you know, a very bad situation for them. But you know what, sister, we are not that far away from that situation ourselves at any given moment. You know, we have nothing to pride ourselves in. It's only the love of Christ that keeps us going in the right direction. Sister Powell made some comments, you know, that we have to depend on Christ each moment. And that's where the power is in Christ. And we could be in the same situation or worse than Jarvis and Ashley in a very short time and not even know it. Okay, we could be lost and not even know it. We think we're on the right path and we're not. So let us keep lifting each other up and let us examine ourselves in the faith and make sure that we are doing what Christ wants us to do through his power, not through ours, but through his. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing that, because true, and that is true. And my daughter and I was talking about that ourselves. We all had some sort of addiction. And I tell you, God had to bring us out of it at one point of time, how we struggled. But you know what? You know when the Bible tells us, Brother Rick and Brother Eli, he said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. If we believe in God, also believe in me, because in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, God said if it wasn't so, he wouldn't have told us. So we believe the promise. God said, if you would keep praying, and if it's his will, if we would keep believing in what Christ has told us, you know what? He can make it come to pass. So we just got to work it out like that, because you know what? Where I was, and I used to always come to the prayer line, talk about those hot fries, and you know God had to deliver me. And I told the Lord, I don't know how you're going to deliver me out of this. But you know what? I saw myself hating that thing, and I did not want that anymore. And as many other things, it was the same problem. So you know what? It's in God's hand. And if he can change me or people I know that had drug problems, God can do it for anyone. So we just going to lift them up in prayers. Amen. So we're going to open up Sister Carla line. She said she has another testimony. So let us open her line. Thank you for sharing that again, Brother Rick. So the Lord let us know, don't you worry, but leave it all in his hand. Because if we want to, we don't need to worry. Because when we worry, that means our prayers. We're not giving God our prayers. So I know that you have faith, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. So let us open Sister Carla line again. Amen. 423.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola. Yes, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for that. And I, too, remembering about Mullen, because, you know, I'm under the weather, coming through it, and the Holy Spirit, because I was trying to remember all these things I need to take, and but sometimes, you know, cold or sinus or whatever has to take its course, but if we would have got it from the beginning, it would have been, we wouldn't have, you know, we caught it from the beginning, we wouldn't, you know, have to go its course or, you know, have to deal with it. But yes, I too was reminded of mullein, and last year I had forged some mullein and dried them, and I made them into tea, and I also packaged them. It's on my website, PH/organics.com, PH/organics.com, and I had some mullein tea. I also have peppermint tea and lemongrass tea, and there's another tea that I'm making. It's a oregano thyme tea, and all of these things are taken from my garden. It's organic. It's natural herbs that I grow in my garden that I, you know, I read up on, and I see all the great benefits, and I, you know, package them. I dehydrate them, you know, once I get them in and wash them off, dehydrate them, and then I, you know, mince them up because they have to be tiny to, you know, be put into a tea or, you know, used as a tea. And it's on my website, and it was a great benefit when I had 2 glasses of that. And you know, I had some elderberry syrup. I took that also, and I put some onions under my feet. But it just had to go through its course, and I'm just thanking the Lord for these natural remedy that he has given us that we ought to use, because you know, I'm not going to the doctor. I don't have no health insurance. God is my health insurance. The 8 doctors, the eight laws of health are my doctors. And, you know, God is my, he's my great physician. So I just thank him for that and all the herbs that he have made and has given us. We also use them, and we also seek them out so that we can have them readily at our hand, you know, to take them and to instruct others or to, you know, assist them. So I just thank you again for that reminder, Brother Rick, and sharing that. And thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless you.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Sister Carla, for bringing us that health little message, because everything that you and Sister Stephanie, Sister Consonelli, even that clove. I looked up clove and see the benefits of clove. So I did some clove last night, and boy, it was bitter, but yet we drank it. So I'm grateful to all the health benefits. That's why I tell my daughter, I say, get on
stay on the prayer line because you can hear these health benefits. I say, you know, it's when I'm not around, you'll be able to know what to do, because these things come to you as when you get sick, you want to have be able to go to. You don't want to have to go say, well, I'm going to go to the doctor. When you go to the doctor, these doctors, you don't know what they're doing to you, putting in your arms, putting in your nose. So we want to know when we take these herbs and know what to do with them, we can be healed by God's grace. As you said, the great physician, we give him praise and thanks after we done took that medicine. Amen. So thank you once again, Sister Carla. We're going to open the next line. And welcome again, brothers and sisters, because others has joined. We thank you for joining Ebb and Light Ministry. And we're going to open the next line, that is 301-868. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Howdy do, beloved. This is Steffi. I'm calling from Maryland. I just wanted to say thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola, but I heard, I think it was Brother Rick that shared that God's timing is always the best timing, and we are just kind of like one step away from falling into some of these afflictions that impact our brothers and sisters. And, and just we have to keep our eyes up on the prize, keep our eyes on heaven bound. I just want to share a little bit. And every disappointment is for a reason. God allows things to happen to us because he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. And thank you, Sister Carla, for that mulling. Again, I did share that with someone yesterday. He was saying that his son was very, was kind of stuffy. And I was like, give him some mulling. And he said, you know what, Steph, I was thinking about it. I was just getting ready to do the tea. So, yes, mulling is really good for that respiratory and for the mucus. But I go back. The young lady that I shared about on Friday that came to my house and I was, ministering to her, I had the opportunity to do a quick drive-by Bible study. She set me up for them to come and give me an estimate. And she was very nice, and I really wanted, I don't want anybody to come in my house, really, in the sense that I don't want, a lot of these individuals who are coming to give estimates and stuff. So we could meet outside and one, in the backyard. But she was saying to me, don't tell them, because I told them before, I said, I'm not going to have y'all come in the house. We're going to meet outside. So she said, well, don't tell them that, because if you tell them that, then they're not going to come. The only reason why I was, I was trying to have them come to give me the free estimate is because I knew that it would bless her, right? She would get a commission just to have them come out, right? And so they were supposed to come out this morning at 10 o'clock. So they called yesterday and left a message on my voicemail. And so, it was the Sabbath, so I wasn't getting any phone call, wasn't taking any or anything. So this morning, when I checked, I heard the message. So I called them back, and I said, well, we observe the Sabbath. And so, I wasn't going to take your call. I just heard your message, and, I'm calling you back. So they were like, oh, yeah, we're just calling to verify. We're supposed to be coming out today at 10. We will be there between 10 and 11. He went through the whole thing, and I was like, okay. And so shortly after I set it up, I really didn't want, to be honest with you, I really didn't want them to come. I really didn't. But because I wanted the young lady to get the commission, and she said, if I cancel, she's not going to get anything, right? So I'm figuring if they cancel, then she will still get it because she was the one that, got me to sign me up to get the information. So to make a long story short, I got a call shortly thereafter, and another rep called me, and she was like, oh, we're so sorry. We're not going to be able to come out today because they double booked. And I said, well, but they just confirmed. I said, I just call and he confirmed and say he's coming, he's on his way. She said, well, yeah, I guess he didn't get the call before you called because we, we're double booked. And I was like, she was like, well, we could call you back to let us, so that you can let us know when you want us to come out. And I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to count all of this joy because, one, I really didn't want them to come. I was just trying to help the young lady to get a little commission. And so they won't be hearing back from me, because if you make an appointment that, you know, you're coming and, you know, this was the day that I gave you and you said it was good. Actually, she gave me that date and that time. And I was like, you know what, okay, that will work. But I just pray, I'm asking you all to pray for this young lady, Keeda. I think her name is Keeda, that God will bless her. And as I said, I gave her a lot of scriptures. She will continue to read, and God will stir her heart and, you know, and lead her into the truth that she's seeking for, and she will be blessed. Amen and amen. That's my prayer request.
Amen, amen. Sure enough, we will lift that request up. And sister, your work is so great that God is working through you, even to help, to show her that, you know, your heart is in the right way, not just to help her with her scriptures or learning about Christ, but you are willing to give her time for her job. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's showing more love towards her, and she more willing to accept the message that you try
exactly,
to teach her. So
exactly.
I just praise God for that, because sometimes we have to bend a little low to be able to do more to help people, because, you know, sometimes, you know, when we don't, people, you know, they don't think about you. They don't think about what you've given them, and they just want to just drop it. But she's going to think
and
about what you did for her.
Absolutely, Sister Leola. Absolutely. And that's why, that's the reason why I said, okay, I'll let them come. You know what I mean? Because I know their price were going to be high anyway. But because I know that she said, you know, if they come out, she gets a commission. Even if I don't accept them in terms of, you know, go with their estimate or whatever, just the fact that she gets somebody to come out, she will get a commission. And that was the only reason why I was doing it, so that she could get not only the spiritual blessing, but be able to get the financial blessing that she was asking for, especially the fact she shared with me that if they come, and she said, don't cancel. I said, okay, no problem. So God worked it out. I didn't have to cancel. He blocked it, okay? But she will still get
Amen.
A blessing. All right, thank you, Sister
Amen.
Leola.
And I want to thank God for that, because that's the same, on the same token, when you go out there witness to the people, they're holding this sign up, okay, I'm hungry, I need something to eat. And then I just give them a tract. Now, I done did it because I didn't have money. I'm like, sorry, I don't have no money right now. And if I have a banana, I have water, I give it to them. But if I have money on me, I don't mind giving them something. But, you know, most of all, I had a lot of them say, oh, thank you, ma'am, and it's all right, and I'll take it and I'll read it. So it's a blessing to be able to give them something and to share something with them, let you know I'm concerned about your need. I really want to supply something. But you know what I thought about, Sister Stephanie? People never give bananas. And don't you know, when people are homeless, they are their muscles are lacking some potassium, or they lack it because they never eat them. So you know what? I say, you know what? If I have some bananas to give to people, I say that would help one mineral in their body, that, and if they drink their water, it's just the banana, because they be so drugged out and all the vitamins depleted, they need that banana to eat to build their potassium so their muscles won't cramp up or fold up on them. So it's a blessing to be able to give something to someone. So thank you, Sister Stephanie, for sharing that. So now we're going to open the line for Sister Powell, because you know, our mother and our sister always has a powerful. And then after that, Sister Powell, we're going to go into a prayer, because we want to have enough time for Brother Akeem. He would come at 7:30, brothers and sisters. So, Sister Powell, I will open your line. Amen. And you can share your testimony.
Okay, welcome again, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. I heard the report from the request with Sister Brenda and with those precious children. And as we mentioned, that we would like, you know, to let the children, you know, even to hear a word of little song to comfort them, and also are interested, you know, when the children really can sit and listen, because that's what Sister Brenda told us a while ago in her report, that, you know, the little children, they are praying, and, you know, if it's even one line, even one verse, you know, they are catching what we have. So we have decided here that each one of us, you know, as we have three sessions, we have the health message on Thursday, we have Sunday night, and also we have Friday night, that we can sing a little song for the children, right? So I will just sing a little song for the children. Sister Brenda, children, just get them beside you so that they will be able to hear the song and learn the song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus takes, Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash my sins away. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine. Make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me. I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Kind and loving Father, which art in heaven, we, your children, come to give you thanks and praise for those special jewels that you have given unto us, Lord. We lift up Sister Brenda, precious jewel, grandchildren, to you this moment. We ask you, Lord, to keep them, guide them, protect them. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that they may love you even though they are small. While they listen to your little song, the song that's singing, and also the Bible verse, Lord Jesus, that their grandmother is reading to them, dear Lord, and teaching them the right way, Lord, how to love you more and more each day. We ask you to keep them, Lord, and help them, dear Father, that the life that they see with during their grandmother and grandfather, they will see Christ and only Christ. Bless them, Lord. Not only them, every one of us on this line who have children and grandchildren, even some of them are older, dear Lord, but they are still our children. Lord, we place them in your care. There are some who have a hard heart, some doing what they're not supposed to be doing. Some are busybody.
dear Father. Some are disobedient, unruly, Lord, but we present them to you. You know everyone by name, Lord. So we ask you for your protection. We ask you for your love in their heart and allow them, Lord, to see you and know you and call upon you. So tonight, dear Lord, we lift them up. We lift up Jarvis, Lord Jesus, to you. Heavenly Father, the one, Lord Jesus, who is on the street. Lord, the brilliant mind that you have given unto him in his early age. And Lord, we have seen what Satan have done. So we lift him up to you, comfort him. We thank you for your protection towards him out there, dear Lord, because we know that the angel is protecting him. So, Lord, help him, dear Lord, that he may know that he is not alone. And, dear Father, bring him to his sense, Lord, just like the prodigal son, so that he will come home. And we also lift up our dear beloved sister Ashley. Lord, you know their heart for mother and father, grandson, parents and brothers and sister who are praying for dear sister Ashley, Lord Jesus. Bless her and keep her, guide her, dear Lord. The enemy wants to steal her away, but we present her to you, Father. And we have faith, Lord, strengthen brother Rick and sister Rick, Lord, and the family as they strive to be the mastery, Lord. Give them the faith and the patience so that they will continue to lift up Ashley to get to you. So, dear Lord, we leave Ashley and all the others, dear Father. We all have family who is going through all these crises, Lord, and different things, Father God. We have seen that the enemy is trying to destroy the family and the home, dear Lord, to children, Lord, brothers and sisters. We have seen it happening. Siblings, Lord, it's a war going on. But Heavenly Father, this evening we come boldly to the throne and ask you for help. If there is no other time we need your help, we need it now. And we are depending upon you. Lord, we lift up Brother John. Brother John, dear Father, who will be doing Bible study with Brother Rick, dear Lord. We ask you to pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon him and keep him and guide him, dear Lord, that he will walk in the right way, dear Father. And also, dear Lord, we lift up Brother Rick, who came down with a little flu, dear Lord. You are God, and you gave us the remedy that we can use. So thank you, Lord, for your natural remedy that you have placed in Genesis, Lord. You also placed it in John and also in Revelation 22, dear Lord, the tree that will be there for us, bear 12 fruits, manner of fruits, and it's there to heal the nation. So, Lord, help us that we will accept, Lord, and be obedient to follow your 8, Lord, of help, Lord. Bless and keep, Lord, Brother Rick, Lord, while he goes out, Lord, and in his coming, his church activities. Lord, we know that he has a lot of work on him, but dear Father, give him the strength that he will continue, Lord. We lift up Sister Leola tonight, Brother Ray. Father, we thank you for traveling mercies towards him tonight, Lord. We also lift up Brother Eli, who came on the line and asking for prayer, Lord, for himself, his mother, Jahari, and the whole group, Lord Jesus, Advent Light, brothers and sisters, and asking, Lord, for prayer for Shamiko, Lord Jesus, who he's saying that want to beat him up when he goes to the. But Heavenly Father, we place Shamiko in your hand at this time. Lord, touch your heart that she will know that you are love and this co-worker that they have to work together. And also, Brother Eli, Lord Jesus, there are times we have to let go and let you lead. Lord, dear Father, help Brother Eli that you know what? When you go out, as you said, if you go to present the word and the people do not receive it, dust the dirt off your foot and move ahead. Lord, help Brother Eli, dear Lord. They do not want to hear the truth. So all he has to do is to leave them alone and you will take care of it. So Lord, just give Brother Eli that lesson that he may know that it's not bad for him to walk away Lord, from those individuals who rejected your word. So we ask you to pour your blessings upon Brother Eli. Lord, we thank you for what you have been doing to Sister Carla while she's at work, Lord, presenting you, Lord, with her clientele, Lord. We ask you to keep, guide, and protect. We also lift up Sister Stephanie today, our testimony, Lord, of praise helping others, Lord Jesus. And that is what you want us to do. So bless her, keep her, and I know you are going to send an estimate, Lord, to her to give her the right figure and to do the work, Lord. It's in your hands. Also present her children, Lord Jesus, Carter at college and KG at work, Lord. We ask you for your protection and your love. Brother Elroy's children and also his wife not feeling well, we place them to you. Sister Tamiko, Lord Jesus, she and her family, her son, Lord Tony and Anthony in the prison. Lord, we know you can do all things, and as they study your word, we ask you to draw them from you. And now, dear Lord, we present Brother Akin, who will be presenting the message, dear Lord. Allow the message to come straight from you, from fresh bread from heaven, and that we will enjoy, Lord, that message, that word of truth, the word of life, that it will bring healing to our soul, rejuvenate our body, our soul, our mind, and allow us, dear Lord, to fully surrender everything to you so that we will accept eternal rest. We thank you for the study that we have studied, the reading in Hebrews 3, Lord, that you have given unto us, our total obedience without unbelief because of unbelief. Lord, for our first parents, unbelief, the children of Israel, unbelief. Lord, they were wandering, dear Father, because of unbelief and did not believe, did not trust you, Lord. So we ask you to allow us not to come up to that same, to make that same mistake. So bless us, we pray. And Lord, help us. And all the unspoken requests, we present them to you, Brother John and Sister Brenda again. Lord, we lift them up to you. Those listeners who are listening over the internet, they are from New United States, some from China, some from Italy, Lord Jesus, who are listening, Lord. We ask you, Father, to touch their heart. And if they are not fully surrendered to you, allow them, dear God, to make it right with you. Bless us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Powell, for lifting up our callers that's from other places. Oh, thank you, Sister Powell, for that. And we're going to open the line because I was supposed to open the line, so Sister Brenda is going to give a prayer also. So let's bring the line, and then Sister Tamika going to give us a short song. Sister Brenda going to give a short prayer, and Sister Brenda, your line is open, 985-232. Your line is open. You can give us a short prayer. Amen.
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 I'm ready. Oh, Father.
Amen.
You are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Father God, we thank you for this day, for watching over us and waking us up this morning. We come to thank you for this day that we come together again, thanking you and praising you for your son that you gave to that died on the cross for us, that we might have the right to tree of life. Thank you, Father, that we all on this prayer line, that we may grow stronger in your word and that we may get to see you in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you again. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you for your blessings that's so ungrateful that we can't even count. Lord, we ask that you teach us to pray. Lord, give us the strength to go from heart to heart. Teach us to excuse me, Lord. Mr. McConkie. Lord, Father God, we ask that you look down on at being light and touch each and every one of my brothers and sisters, Lord. Help us to go strong. Anything look like sin, we ask that you cast it out. Lord, all we need just to strengthen us now is love and blessings. Lord, we need that you to pour it out our hearts so that we can love one another and pray for one another and just go strong in your word. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you continue praying for the sick, the homeless, the nursing home, and the ones in the chair house and on the street. And ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go through the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother John,
I'm going
to give a quick talk testimony, Leola.
Okay.
This is Brother John from home, Louisiana. I'd like to say hello to everyone. And I was like wanted to come on earlier. I was cleaning up some things that the baby had made. But I'm glad to be able to come on and give God the praise. And just say that I'm very thankful for everything. You know, I just feel real blessed. And as usual, I've been counting my blessings. Seems like they add up more and more. And it's like overwhelming. You know, it's like almost overwhelming, you know, the things that that's so... It's so nice to be experiencing since I've turned towards the ways of God. It's just an amazing thing. And as always willing to learn and always willing to teach and share like they do on the prayer line, always willing to share with someone. And I love to help others learn the word, and I love teaching what I've learned. It makes me feel like a teacher, you know. I guess I am, in a way, a teacher of the word of God. So when I share the goodness of God in things, and it makes it help others, I feel real good to help. It feels real, real good to help another people. I guess that's what I'm really trying to say. I love helping other people because people have helped me, like the prayer line, and God has blessed us with the prayer line, all of us. And I won't be on too much longer, but I just wanted to share that. Long stay, like everyone teaching me, and I'm gonna continue on, and we just can keep on passing word on and on to the new, you know, the little kids and everything as they grow up into the word, and just goes on and on and on, generation after generation. And I'm trying to just stay on this same path, the same road, instead of a lot of miscellaneous things. I want to stay away from all the miscellaneous things and focus on the word of God. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda. Thanking the Lord for Sister Brenda, her prayers, and thanking God for your testimonies. And we see how God is working it out for you guys. So we just praise him, and we thanking him. As you know, this Advent Light Ministry is continually being the light for God. And that's what we continue to do. Be the hope and that God's word be presented to everyone. So, brothers and sisters on the prayer line, and I'm going to open one more line, and we're going to have to be short because Brother Oscar is going to join us. Brothers and sisters, I'm opening the line for Sister Tamika. She's going to just give a short testimony, and she's going to give a short song. So I want to give her a chance to share. Amen? Sister Tamika, your
Amen.
Line is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
This is Tamiko from Pennsylvania, and I just want to give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory and adoration because he's so worthy to be praised. I thank the Lord for all that he has done for me, blessed me abundantly. Everything that I have lost, he has brought it back to me. So I am so grateful. Everything that was taken away, the Lord has restored it and given it back to me. So I am so grateful, and I thank and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm so happy. So, my dear sister, I just want to sing a song for my precious brothers and sisters on the prayer line. And I love you all, and I thank you so much for opening my line. I would like to sing We Have This Hope.
Amen.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of our Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much for opening my line, sister. God bless you all. Love you all, always and forevermore. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Sister Tamika, for the song. Yes, I can't even remember all the words you just said. So I just want to thank God for that song. And thank God for you sharing and knowing that he has promised you. So thank God. Thank God for all brothers and sisters on the prayer line that you came and shared. You know, you glorified him. And you praising him and you telling others what God has did for you. And he has worked out miracles for brothers and sisters on here. We know some miracles God have did on this prayer line. And each one of us have experienced a miracle. So we thank God. And now, brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the word of God, which is the bread of life. And we love this. And we're just going to say, Lord, Sister Power, Heavenly Father, Sister Power has already prayed. And we just want to thank you and agree with all the prayers that she has given to us. And we just want to lift up Sister Katie. She's on the prayer line with us, joining us to hear the word. So, Father, bless and help each and every one of us as we read, harden not your heart, because God wants us to hear his word. So, sisters and brothers, I want you to be blessed tonight and be encouraged. Amen. Thank you. Now we're going to open the line for our brothers and sisters. Brother Hakeem James. Amen. 301-640, your line is open. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glad to be back
and
on
brother,
this evening.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
And brother Hakeem, brother, this is our speaker. Yes. I just want to introduce you. Amen.
Okay. All right. Definitely. Thank you so much, Sister Leola. Glad to be back with you guys this evening. And I pray that your week has been well, the past week, I should say, and that the beginning of this new week has been going well for you as also. This evening, as promised, we'll be going into the seventh head. And we found out last time that I was on that the seventh head is none other than the United States of America. And we found that out from Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. It says, and I beheld another beast, that's a kingdom, a nation coming up out of the earth. That's a scarcely populated area, as we found out last time. And he had two horns, that is two governing powers. That understanding was taken from Daniel chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, where the ram with two horns was represented. Those two horns were represented as the kings of Media, of the Medes, and Persia, of the Persians. And so the horns on an animal or a beast represent the governing principles of that power, the very thing that guides them. In Daniel chapter 8, we then next find out that there was a goat with a notable horn between its eyes in the middle of its head that came and killed the ram, meaning it conquered, destroyed the Medo-Persian Empire. And we saw
According to the Bible itself, it tells us that that horn was the governing power of Greece, Alexander the Great. The first horn was the first major king of the Greek Empire. And so that was Alexander the Great, the one, the king who was guiding the nation. And so first we saw horns, Medes and Persians, the one horn on the he-goat representing the first prince or king of Greece. And so we're seeing that, wow, horns represent governing powers, the powers or the power that guides an entire nation. And it's very interesting because we found out that this power in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 would rise while the power of the papacy was waning and was ultimately taken out of the way for a time. And remember, we found out historically it was taken out of the way in 1798 when Napoleon sent in his general Berthier to take the Pope captive and to remove from the Catholic Church its civil power that it was using during the Dark Ages to actually enforce its traditions upon the masses within Western Europe. And so once that halt, once that civil power was taken away, Revelation 13 verse 3 identifies it as a death blow to the papal system. The very power that led men into captivity was led into captivity. The very power that used the sword, that is the civil power in order to kill people during the Dark Ages, itself was attacked by the most ardent civil power that was supporting them, that is France. So as we found out, we saw that the sixth nation, therefore, the sixth head of the seven heads was none other than France. And the power that was rising up while France was attacking and ultimately overcame the papal system was another power rising further in the West that would ultimately become a world power, because it would be under the auspices of this power that the mark of the beast would be instituted and the image of the beast, which the Bible tells us would impact the entire world. So this means this has to be a world power. And so, not by coincidence, the world power that was rising in the West at this time, when the papacy's power was not only waning, but when the papacy's civil power was taken away, when France had attacked the papal system, taking its civil power away, was none other than the United States of America. This is the power, the lamb-like beast, that would rise out of the earth, meaning it would rise, its beginnings would come out of a scarcely populated area. Notice I didn't say that it had no one there, for there were people there in the Americas. When the pilgrims arrived, they were not the first. The natives were already here. It is estimated, I believe his name is Donald Fixico, who is a powerful student and professor and researcher of Native American history, estimates that there were between 5 to 15 million Native Americans here. Of course, nothing in comparison to the over 78 million people that were in Western Europe or more, but there were people here. There were certain groups of people here, between 5 to 50 million Native Americans. And by the time of the end of the American Indian Wars, and through different presidents who orchestrated different laws to take land from the Native Americans, by the end of the American Indian Wars, there were just a few hundred thousand left, probably 200 to 285,000 left, a sharp decline from the 5 to 50 million that were already here. And so this is one of the reasons that it actually tells us concerning America. It says, and he had two horns like a lamb, meaning outwardly, the way that this system governs itself, the United States would govern itself from the very beginning, it would look Christ-like. And many people perceive that even to this day, and I fear that this is one of the reasons that many times Seventh-day Adventists, they fail to be able to win people from, for example, the Hebrew Israelite community. They fail to win people who are involved, for example, in the civil rights movement. They fail to win even people, many times, who are Native Americans and they fail to win people who know their history in Earth, in America and around the world. Why? Because this aspect of history, the historical beginnings of the United States of America, during the 1600s and 1700s and 1800s, is largely forgotten. Because while it appeared to be Christ-like in the way that it governed itself, and that was that as the pilgrims came here, sadly, the very monsters they were fleeing in Great Britain, they ultimately became, because they started attacking the Native Americans after learning from them how to reap from the soil, how to use the land. They end up attacking them and taking land from them. But these people were Christians. It's amazing, even during the time of slavery, many of the churches that were against not just natives receiving equality, but also African Americans or those who were taken from Africa to be brought here, many times the people that were against their freedom were many of the churches in the South, and they were for making laws to continue the diabolical system of slavery. And so as this happened, these people who were fighting for these laws of slavery to be maintained, fighting to take land from the natives, were themselves Christians. They believed in the separation of church and state, but they believed in the separation of church and state for Christians. In other words, in such a way that it would protect Christians. And so while they believed in religious freedom, they believed in it primarily for those who were involved in Christianity. But when it came to other movements, many times, and other people groups, many times this idea of religious liberty was shunned. And so it's powerful because the Bible takes note of this historically. And this is where, friends, if we proclaim the word as it reads, there are so many that we can win. Because literally the Bible says he had two horns, and those two horns, friends, were what I just mentioned. What were the two governing principles of the United States that would cause it to appear like the Lamb? That is Jesus Christ. It is the concept of the separation of church and state. The concept of republicanism, a nation without a king, a people group that would govern itself without a king, and also a church without a pope. In other words, religious freedom. There would be no religious dominance or domination, even on the part of Christianity, as much as there were movements that rose up then and even now that tried to push that agenda of causing Christian and the religion of the nation to dominate, the Christianity of the nation to dominate other religions. There's an attempt to do that even today, to make, in other words, to force America to be Christian. Friends, our pioneers knew that this, to do that very thing, was not only anti-constitution, but they understood that it would be anti-Christian. It would destroy the very argument of why someone should be Christian. That, hey, I'm going to force my religion upon you. You have to be Christian. And if the United States seems like it's becoming less Christian, then we must work through law to force it to be Christian. Then, friends, that's a dangerous ground to be on. But notice what it says here, because there would be those attempts and the laws, tyrannical laws, not just concerning Native Americans, not just concerning slavery, but also concerning the initiative to force Christianity upon others, it says, and this same nation spake as a dragon. That means it would speak as the devil. So it would appear that, whoa, religious liberty, separation of church and state. But all the while, there would be an agenda to enforce Christianity. This is how the Puritans even operated. Historically, we are told that the Puritans, while, and many of the pilgrims, while fleeing persecution and while being hardworking people, they had laws and systems that were so tyrannical that if someone was at times found to work on Sunday, They could suffer anywhere from loss of property to the loss of life. If any witches were found, under suspicion even, many times they were even killed. And so this concept of not just draconian in religion, speaking like a dragon, but you remember this concept, a nation speaks, when it says it spake as a dragon, a nation speaks through its laws. And so this is why I brought up the situation with the American Indian Wars, because in order for that to happen, friends, there had to be laws set in place to allow for the annihilation of many natives. In order for slavery to be a thing and prosper as much as it did within this nation, it had to mean that, friends, there were laws passed. Hence, we must be faithful to the text, because notice what the text says. It says, and he spake. Many times in our evangelistic series, you know how we teach it? And he will speak as a dragon. And for sure, from verses 12 all the way to verse 18, it shows what's coming. But in verse 11, it reveals something very powerful, the Bible being true to history, that the nation spake, that's past tense, spake as a dragon. That means, where do we look then? In the future? No, verse 12 to 18 covers that. But verse 11 covers the past of this nation, the very beginnings of the nation, how Christianity, Christians within the nation, sought to work through the government in order to bring about laws of oppression. And those laws of oppression, why does the Bible cover it? Why does the Bible cover that aspect of history? Because, friends, in that history, we see what is coming to every true follower of God at the end. You see, back then, it was a Native American. Back then, it was the slave. Friends, there's coming a day where if we don't learn from this history, which still impacts us today, by the way, friends, there's coming a day when every saint will face that oppression because of religious convictions. And then when that comes, we will want to cry then and say, hey, this is not right. This is not right. When all along, there has been injustice and oppression, but we never cried out. But I assure you, we'll cry out then. And so this is why the Bible is such a powerful book, because if we preach it as it really is, being true to history, not just concerning what's coming, as we normally teach in our evangelistic series, but also what has been in the beginnings of the nation, I tell you, we can win people from every group, from the right, political right, from the political left, which God is trying to reach both. He's not trying to reach one or the other. He's trying to reach both. From people from the Hebrew Israelites, people who are involved in civil rights initiatives in our world today, people who are involved in many different facets of society and many different initiatives. If we speak true to history, as the Bible is doing, friends, these people will realize that these people are an educated people. They know what they're talking about. This is not some kind of political agenda for them, but they are trying to be true to what the Word says and to what history teaches. But as long as we neglect that aspect, there's a large group that we will miss. All right, so now as we continue, Father, guide us and give us wisdom, Lord, as we continue in this next section, which is vital for us. I pray, O Lord, I know that some may become offended, but I pray, O Lord, that you would help me to give this word clearly so that we may see these things, O Lord, and go and search out whether these things are so. Guide us and guide me, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, you remember what I mentioned. In verse 11, it says, and I beheld another beast, kingdom, coming up out of the earth, scarcely populated area. And you remember the two horns, the two governing powers that would cause it to appear as though it's Christian. Yet, in heart, it is a dragon. Because what does it say? And he spake as a dragon. A nation speaks through its laws. But you remember also what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Out of the mouth do we see the abundance of what is in the heart. Right? So out of the mouth the heart speaks. So if a nation speaks as a dragon, it can only mean that inwardly it was draconian. Though appearing outwardly to be Christian, inwardly it was dragon-like. It was devilish. And we're finding out the nation we're talking about here is who? It is none other than the United States of America, but not just the United States of America. Remember, I mentioned a specific group within America is the one who's pushing these initiatives, all right? And I want to read this statement to you again so that we never forget. I've quoted this statement a number of times, but I always want to quote it so that we remember who's going to initiate this thing at the end of time. Because in a cult, in a society, where I'm seeing many Seventh-day Adventists begin, as I said earlier, and as I said last time, to shift their prophetic understanding to fit their political agenda. Friends, we must ever be reminded of this. Because what I'm hearing a lot of Christians saying today, Seventh-day Adventists saying, is that they're beginning to adopt the evangelical perspective of prophecy, which teaches that the major attack that will come at the end of time is from the government. And that it's the government that we have to watch out for. It's these secularists that we have to watch out for. But friends, I want to tell you that while, yes, on their side, there are things that when it comes to secularism, when it comes to the LGBTQ community, when it comes to aspects of what secularism is seeking to do, that it is true, we have to watch out for it. The things that they mention and that agenda resembles many times and in many cases the agenda that happened just before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And so I dare not downplay that. But because of what Bible prophecy has told us, this is not the group that I fear the most. Because while, yes, it is true, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in light of serious immorality, and not just immorality, the Bible also tells us in the book of Ezekiel, it was because they loved fullness of bread. That's a gluttony. They were proud, and there were many other identifying characteristics that many people forget, because to forget it is to protect self. What do I mean by that? Because the other sins that are mentioned that caused Sodom's fall impact all of us. You see, when we when we talk, many people talk about the LGBTQ community, because sometimes they're not involved in that alternate lifestyle. They think, okay, yeah, I can condemn with fervor. But then when it comes to the other sins that cause Sodom's fall, such as pride and gluttony, many people leave that out. Why? Because it protects them. They look into their own lives and they realize, whoa, I'm gluttonous. Can't even control my appetite. Whoa, I am proud. I don't even like this other person at church. I hate their guts. I can't even put up with them. I detest them. But hey, you know what? That's the main thing I got to deal with right now is this homosexual brother and sister. That's what I got to focus my time on. It takes the light off of me. And so I'm going to focus on this agenda. But friends, we are not told that it's that agenda that's going to end the world. You see, as much as I see the agenda on that side of the spectrum, in order to lead our children astray, in order to destroy in the minds of children the aspect and the understanding of what constitutes marriage between a man and a woman, while yes, that does concern me. As it concerns the end time layout, it is the Christian who begins to rely on politics and civil power that concerns me the most. And that's what Revelation 13 touches on. You see, the two horns are a symbol of what? Church and state, republicanism and Protestantism. And what caused the destruction of many in American history is when the churches began to push their agenda by working through the civil power in order to accomplish its needs. As you look back into United States history, you see that. Friends, the very ones that that sought to maintain, as I mentioned earlier, the system of slavery was not the secularists back then. The very people who were seeking to maintain the institution of slavery were the churches in the South. They were the ones that were seeking to push this. And in the end of time, it's not just the United States that's going to pass the mark of the beast. It's not just the government is going to just wake up one day and say, hey, you know, what if we just made a religious law? No, friends, it is Christianity in this nation, the other horn. So one part of the horn represents the government. It represents republicanism, a people without a king. But friends, what causes the government, the governmental system of the United States, to one day institute a religious law, a quote-unquote false Christian law? It's Christians. Christians are going to be the one. Protestants, apostate in form, are the ones who will push this agenda and one day get it passed through the government. That's how it's going to happen, and we have the example of this in Jesus' life. The Romans never had a problem, at least after Christ, after his childhood, after the attack of Herod. Rome never had an issue with Jesus, as much as he was doing, they never had an issue with him until apostate religion brought him before the state, brought him before Pilate. In that, we see a parallel to the end time events. It is apostate religion, apostate Christianity, evangelicalism today that will one day push and work through the state to accomplish its agenda of sanctifying Sunday before the people. And we are told this. This is found in Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 451. By the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy, in violation of the law of God, our nation, listen to this, will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. Now, how does this come about? How does this decree enforcing the institution of the papacy, which is talking about Sunday here, how does that ever get passed by law? We are told, when Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp the hands of spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, listen to this, our country, America, shall repudiate. So because of the initiative of Protestantism in making these connections, this nation will repudiate every principle of its constitution. As a Protestant, that's what we're looking at, Christianity here, as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions. When all this happens, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. This is why when people tell me, man, look at what the government is doing. This is a test run, man. We're, the game is over. This is a test run, and the government's about to do this major agenda. I tell them, after Christ, the next place I'm looking is to the perfection of character in his people. Are his people right with him? And although we are told it's not everyone who will do it, we are told in spirit of prophecy that while if we are looking for a day to come where the whole church will be revived and reformed, she says that day will never come. But she does say that a large portion within our movement will turn. And she says only when that happens will the latter rain be poured out. So that tells me the next place I'm looking is for the perfection of Christ's character in his people. Now, where am I looking next? After the perfection of Christ's character in his people, and now God says, okay, I have a people ready to be a witness to the world, and now I can allow things to go forward. History has revealed this to us. Friends, we were right on the banks of a passing of a national Sunday law in the 1880s, going into the 1890s. Everything was ready. The devil was ready. All the stuff was set up. But the people of God weren't. And because they were not, all of this stuff was pulled back, friends. None of this stuff went forward. They were right on the brink. But because of the righteousness experience, righteousness by faith experience, not being experienced, God says, it's a no-go. We're not going to go forward. Because I need a demonstration to be given that people may be one. And if my church is not with me, who I want to work through to give that demonstration, then we're going to have to hold back for another few years, which has been many years, friends. So next piece I'm looking is to, does God's people have their character aligned after Christ? That's why all of this stuff goes out the window when you have people talking to you about, oh, yeah, in 2027, that's when everything's about to go down, and then a few years after that, we're going to go home. Friends, please do not listen to people who say these things. I say this respectfully. Yes, I agree and believe in the 7,000-year concept. But friends, don't follow these people who try to set dates for the latter rain, set dates for the time of trouble, set dates for when things are going to go down. Get your life right with Christ. Because when you start setting dates like that, your relationship with Christ and getting in harmony with him is no longer about forming a natural relationship. Now it becomes about, oh man, this date is coming. I got to get my life right by that date. Friends, when your Christianity is set like that, it will never work. Christ, that the reason that he has not revealed certain dates to us after 1844 is because he's saying to us, get ready naturally. Come into a relationship with me naturally. Stop setting times. Stop setting dates. Allow me to perfect your character. Now, after that, friends, after I watch the people of God, so I'm watching Christ experience him, then I'm watching the experience that God's people are having, the Laodicean being transferred from lukewarm to hot rather than cold. The next place I'm looking is not to the Pope in Rome. Even though I am aware of what he's doing, I'm not saying don't be aware. The next major place I'm looking is to Christianity in America, because it is Protestantism who will be foremost in causing the threefold union, and the very Protestants that claim to love the Constitution in the United States today, the Spirit of Prophecy says, will be the one to bring about the repudiation of every principle of the Constitution. Now, that can only happen, friends, if church and state unites, because the very Constitution itself, along with the Declaration of Independence, has been set up in such a way to make sure that church and state, this concept of church and state being separated, is never violated. So that means if we see Christians saying, so that means, one, the place that we should be looking is not the government. In light of this pandemic, you got people saying, oh, it's game over, everything's about to go down now, or this is a test run, you see what the government is doing, and you have Seventh-day Adventists falling into this trap. But inspiration says it's not the government. You may have concerns about what the government is doing, but don't call this a test run. A test run must look like what the scriptures tell us is coming. And what the scriptures tell us is coming is Protestantism leading the way to work through the government to annihilate this concept of religious freedom. It does not say the government rises on its own initiative and annihilates religious freedom. This is not what the prophecy says. So we have to be true to the prophecy. If we're looking for a test run, you know what was a test run? An example of a test run was in the days of our pioneers moving from late 1880s into 1893, we see Senator Blair rising up along with other Christians to push for a national Sunday law and the abolishment of religious freedom. the uniting of separation of the uniting of church and state to make that happen, to cause a Sunday law to pass. That's an example of a test run because it fits the prophecy of Revelation 13:11. The government rising up to make mandates, friends, on nothing that has to do with a Sunday law. Friends, we gotta be faithful to the blueprint. That is not being faithful to the blueprint. We are told what to look for. Now I'm gonna show you, as I mentioned, where should we be looking next? After Jesus, after wanting our characters perfected by Jesus, looking at the church, we should look to Christianity. Now, what is Christianity in the United States doing? All right, I'm going to read this article to you as we come to the last portion. All right, so this is what it says here. When I saw this article, this came out in Yahoo. The title of the article is "The Growing Religious Fervor in the American Right." This is a Jesus movement. This article was put out this last month, April 6th, 2022. All right? It says they open. Now, friends, a religious, a political figure is mentioned in here. My issue is not necessarily aimed at this political figure, but my issue is to show you what Christianity is doing as it concerns working through the civil power. So don't think I'm trying to get at any political person. I want you to see what Christianity is doing. So this was done in Phoenix. They opened with an invocation summoning God's hedge of thorns and fire to protect each person in the dark Phoenix parking lot. They called for testimonies, passing the microphone to anyone with inspirational words that they'd like to say on behalf of our J6 political prisoners. That's January 6th political prisoners. You remember what happened that day, referring to people arrested in connection with the January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol, whom they were honoring a year later. So notice who they were honoring. Now, we're going to see who's doing this honoring. It continues. Then holding candles, dripping wax, the few dozen who were gathered lifted their voices a cappella in a song treasured by millions of believers who sing it on Sundays and know its words by heart. What is that song? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Now, friends, it continues. This was not a church service. It was worship for a new kind of congregation, a right-wing political movement powered by divine purpose, whose adherents find spiritual sustenance. How? In political action. The Christian right has been intertwined with American conservatism for decades, culminating in the Donald Trump era. And elements of Christian culture have long been present at political rallies. But worship, a sacred act showing devotion to God expressed through movement, song, and prayer, was largely reserved for church. Now many believers are importing their worship of God with all its intensity, emotion, and ambitions to their political life. At events across the United States, it is not unusual for participants to describe encountering the divine and feel they are doing their part, listen to this, to install God's kingdom on earth. For them, right-wing political activity, Christians doing right-wing political activity itself is becoming a holy act. Now, here's why I say we must be careful last week about how we look at this pandemic. It says these Christians are joining secular members of the right wing, including media-savvy opportunists, and those touting disinformation. They represent a wide array of discontent, from opposing vaccine mandates to promoting election conspiracy theories. For many, pandemic restrictions that temporarily closed houses of worship accelerated their distrust listen to this, of government and made church-going political. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article, but I want to read a few sections from the article that was mind-blowing. In one section, the Christians that were mentioned in the article were saying this, and it was showing that among these Christians is, in quote, a growing belief among conservative Christians is that the United States is on the cusp of a revival. One where, now listen to what the revival is composed of, one where spiritual and political change are bound together. That should cause your antennas to go up. Next, here's another quote. At the revival, so this is one of the worship services, Christians are meeting now for their political agenda. At the revival, as worship music played gently, Fredrickson, that's a preacher in a cardigan and cuffed skinny jeans, urged the crowd, are you ready for what I'm about to say? Urged the crowd to not believe the lie of the separation of church and state. That's the image of the beast, friends. You see why I say we must be careful about the agendas that we're joining? Because many Christians are joining these other apostate groups in Christians, and as they're joining them against fighting against the government concerning these mandates, and they're saying, no, we got to go out. This is a test run. We got to fight with them. This is the big thing. This could very well be it. And they're saying, you see what the government is doing? But where is apostate Christianity? The very apostate Christianity that we were warned against in Scripture, we are beginning to unite with. That's the scary part. And what are they saying? The very thing that we should be aware of. What are they saying? They're saying, don't believe this lie that church and state should be separate. I just read it in quotes for you from the article. The last quote, I lay the key. This is what one of the ministers was singing at one of these political rallies. I lay the key of David upon you, Anthony Kern. Actually, this guy was a candidate for the Arizona State Senate who was photographed on the Capitol steps on January 6, 2021, proclaimed to the crowd from the stage, paraphrasing a biblical passage about power given by God. And in quote, he says, that means the governmental authority is upon you, men and women. Friends, that's Revelation 13. That's apostate Christianity speaking. Don't believe that there's a revival coming. Not only that, the revival is a union of the spiritual and the political. That's church and state, by the way. But how could he say that? Second quote that I just read. Because the concept of church and state being separate is a lie. It should be united. We must use the state to accomplish our means. Friends, this is the very revival we were told about in the Great Controversy, the false revival that precedes the truth. If this keeps going forward, as is mentioned here, it will be the fulfillment of that false revival. If it continues going forward, and notice who's doing this. This is not the political leaders alone. These are Christians uniting with these political leaders to push this effort. Now that, if this escalates to what it is, friends, that's a test run. That's Revelation 13:11 onward. This is why I say we have to be careful and we have to know the more sure word of prophecy, because I'm hearing many Seventh-day Adventists coming away from the biblical foundations that we've already been given, from the foundations that we've been told to look out for. And I'm going to read it here. The prediction, and this is concerning Revelation 13, 11 through 15. This is found in Great Controversy, page 442 and 443 as we come to our close. The prediction that it will speak as a dragon and exercise all the power of the first beast plainly foretells a development of the spirit of intolerance and persecution that was manifested by the nations represented by the dragon and the leopard-like beast. And the statement, now you remember, how did that intolerance look? Was it the government leading during the Dark Ages? She's referring back to the Dark Ages, by the way. No, friends. The power that was leading during the Dark Ages was the mammoth church, the mammoth deceptive church system of the papacy. It was the church telling the kings and princes of Western Europe what to do. That's the example. Not the government making mandates in and of itself. That's not the example of spiritual intolerance that she's talking about. The spirit of intolerance, she says, if you want to know what that looks like, even though there are moments when, yes, the government has made mandates that were unfair. This, however, is not the example. It doesn't fit the parallel. The parallel is Christians in the United States copying the way that the papacy ruled during the Dark Ages, and that is that the church told the dukes, the princes, and the kings what to do. When we see that kind of spirit of intolerance come, then we may know that either a test run is happening or the real thing has happened. A false revival will precede the true, and it will be a revival where Christians, because they have lost the spiritual power they once had to influence others, they would then begin to rely on the power of the state and move the Christians, along with others within the United States, to call for a law that makes America Christian. The statement continues, and the statement that the beast with two horns causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast indicates that the authority of this nation is to be exercised. In other words, it will be used in enforcing some observance which shall be an act of homage to the papacy. So in other words, there's coming a time when the government will be used to do this. But who's going to use it? Friends, we read about who will use it. She says it's Christianity. Friends, that's where my eyes are. After Jesus, after the condition of the church, the next place I'm looking is not even to the Pope of Rome. It is the seventh head, the United States, Christianity within the United States, that revives the power of the papacy. That means, you know what that's telling us? The prophecy is showing us, as much as Pope Francis may do certain things and gain influence in the world, and it's important for us to be aware of that, the Catholic Church will never, ever rise to the power it had, or more than the power it had during the Dark Ages, until Christianity in the United States gives it back that power. So let's not twist it. Let's not twist it, friends. The major player here, after God's people, is Christianity within this nation. You see, yes, while secularism may concern me, the reason that Christianity, which many times in their agenda to push their political agenda, stands on the right, the reason that the right, while the left concerns me as it concerns the aspects of immorality, the reason that the Christian right concerns me even more is because they use God in order to accomplish their agenda. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why it fits Revelation 13. And so I pray that this made sense. We went over a good bit tonight, friends. So I pray that you were able to stay and hear. I pray that it made sense. And I thank you for your time. But I just wanted to make sure to get this out, because this is what I'm beginning to see more and more in the church. And it scares me, because it makes me think of the statement and help me to understand this is probably why a large class will leave and join. What could cause men and women to join apostate Christianity at the end? To cause a large class to leave when the storm comes. It's because we've been aligning our prophetic understanding with theirs way before. Many have been doing that way before they would ever leave. Hence, we must be careful. Father in heaven, I pray that this makes sense to us, Lord. I know that for some, Lord, it may have stepped on their toes, and Lord, you know that it is not my desire. You know that before I would even cause conflict, Lord, I would step back. But Lord, I desire to be true to the prophecies of Scripture, to the more sure word. And so I pray that while I spoke this word, O Lord, that my brethren will know that I love and care for them. While we may even disagree, they may know, Lord, that I love them still. I pray and ask to continue to guide us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to thank our brothers and sisters that God has called, he had called for a watchman. And that's what Brother King doing. He's watchman, because the Bible says if the watchman see the sword coming and blow not the trumpet to warn God's people, well, the blood's going to be on his hands. So, you know, in spirit of prophecy, talk about the ministers. To every minister, the Lord declare him to be a watchman. So, brothers and sisters, we thank God for this message. We thank God for Brother Keem every time he bring us news and with the word, comparing this with the Bible and history. You know, we are blessed to have this. So we just want to give God the praise for what we heard tonight, and we thank God for his word. And I'm just asking that everybody can go back and look at it, study it, and look at history as he gave it to us. Because that's what I've been doing. So I just want to give God thanks. And brothers and sisters, and may God bless each and every one of you, and that we prepare ourselves, as Brother Lee said, about our character, got to be perfected. Oh, Lord, help us. And let us just close in prayer, because that's a daily thing, brothers and sisters, surrendering to the Lord. So our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come before you once again. As our brother has brought this message to us, Lord, we pray for the sisters and brothers to understand it and to grasp the Holy Spirit would teach them and would give them the understanding, myself, Lord, to help me to be ready and to help us to strive for this perfection, Lord, because we all want to be found with the Savior coming back, and when he come back, when he stand up, that our hearts would be ready, we would be made ready, Father. So thank you, Father, for this message, and bless Brother Akeem as he study this and bring it to us. So Father, thank you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and it's been such a blessing to have everyone come on and share. So may God bless you and keep you as we rest tonight. Amen. God bless, and I will play the song by God's grace. I'm going to play this song, brothers and sisters, for you to listen to, just as I am. I'm just...